All right, let's continue our teaching. We'll be reading from the book of Matthew chapter 6, our school of prayer. We have been studying elements of prayer, or elements in prayer. And we took the main text from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 6. We want to continue from there this afternoon. From verse 6, say, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, that is, unlike the hypocrites who pray for show. He said, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions. Please note the word meaningless again. Prayer of the believer is a prayer that has meaning. That is, he must pray with meaning. He must not pray as a habit. Like the joke I told a few times about this, somebody who was praying, I said, Our Father who art in heaven. And the Father answered, What can I do for you? He said, Please don't interrupt. I'm saying my prayers. You've heard that before. All right. So it shouldn't be like that. That is, every word we use must have meaning. And he now gave us a format to use. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Verse 9, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is written or as it is recorded, predetermined, established in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts or trespasses as we have forgiven those who are owing us, our debtors. And do not lead us. Verse 13 says, And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Last time I spoke about praying in the time of judgment. And then, that's the title we ended up giving last week's discussion. And at the end, I began to examine the issue of give us this day our daily bread. All right? And like I said, some translations we use the word our bread for the morrow, but the point is that he limited the request to a one-day period, and I want to emphasize that. Now, please, let's just read this again. There's a reason, because I want to say something that I've said again and again, and I told you I won't get tired of saying something. Even if I know I say 500,000 times, I'll still say it again. I won't get tired of saying it. It's very important, all right? But just to get the context in which I pick that expression from, let's just read the book of James chapter 5. The book of James chapter 5. Well, don't bother opening to it. Let me just read it out to you. In verse 14, it says, Is any sick among you? This is King James. Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And verse 15 says, And the prayer of faith, that's what I kind of want to bring up from there, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And they said in verse 16, Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word, that verse 16, let me just read it in the Amplified. It says, Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed, restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. But where I want to bring is the next sentence. Said the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available and is dynamic in his working. Now let's just get back to where we were. Let me go back to the simpler translation I was reading. Now, so he said in verse 17, talking about that, he said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for three years and 6 months. Let me just stop there, please, because before I lose the main thing I want to say. Why I read this is where he spoke about the fact that there is what is called the prayer of faith. Again, there's a reason why I'm saying this. He said, the prayer of faith, King James says, all right, will save the sick. Now, so we talk about the prayer of faith. I refer to this all the time. And I say that people sometimes say that a prayer of faith is that which you pray once, you believe you have received it, and you don't say anything about it again. Well, that's not very accurate, all right? It's not as if a prayer of faith is different from a prayer of intercession, or is different from a prayer of binding and loosing. Because if you listen to Derek Prince, in that his series on prayer, he discussed different ones of these. It's not as if a prayer of faith is one of those subtypes of prayer. He was saying that this is a prayer that is prayed out of conviction. He was saying that this is a prayer that is prayed because we depend totally on God for answers. He's saying that this is a prayer, you know, we use the word of Jesus just now. He said, do not use meaningless repetitions. He was saying that we must pray a prayer that's not meaningless. The opposite of the, let's play words and opposite again. The opposite of the word, the expression, the prayer of faith, is a prayer of meaningless repetition. That's another example. Are you getting my point? All right. So these prayers that the words don't have inherent meaning in themselves. And I'm going somewhere today. I'm still in that place. Give us this day our daily bread, which we began towards the end of last teaching. Another thing I want to bring up from there is this. There's a prayer of faith. As one of the opposites, there is a prayer of worry. Please listen to what I'm saying carefully. I've been saying that all kinds of prayer, that when we talk about prayer of faith, all kinds of good prayers are prayers of faith. Prayer of intercession is prayer of faith. Prayer of binding and loosing is prayer of faith. All right? If you are praying for your own needs, you are making requests of the Lord for something that you need personally, it's a prayer of faith. If you're asking that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray here in this Matthew chapter 6, these are all prayers of faith. But there is what is called the prayer of worry. I'm inventing those expressions. I've told you about the prayer of repetition, of imitation, the prayer of show. Jesus talked about the prayer of showmanship, all right? The prayer of entertainment is there. Have you seen that one? Yes, it's there, the prayer of entertainment. If you saw it there, say amen. Right, said there, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogue on the street corners in order to be seen by men. That's the prayer of entertainment. Are you getting my point? Yes, people pray that a lot in church. You use most powerful words to say very simple things. Those are prayers of entertainment. Now, Jesus talked about the prayer of faith. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Ask the Lord and say, give us this day our daily bread. I began discussing that one last time. The opposite of that is a prayer of worry. What do I mean? Please listen to this. When we come in prayer, what the Lord Jesus was teaching us here is that we must pray in such a manner so as not to reflect as if we are worried. Do you follow my point? Yes. Because, you see, the prayer of worry is a prayer that wants to establish his future by requesting God to give him everything he needs for that future. That is a prayer of worry. If you like, pray from now till tomorrow is what? A prayer of what? Worry. Last time I gave this illustration, let me just go over it again briefly. That Kenneth Hagin taught us extensively about praying. And brethren try to copy some of the things he said. And there's a prayer of copycat, remember that? All right? Not a prayer born out of persuasion. The man said he would pray asking for a certain amount of money, $150, $120, $200 in a week. That was what he needed. Americans tend to think in weekly fashion. Nigerians think in monthly fashion because we earn our wage generally monthly, but they tend to earn weekly. So they generally have this weekly mentality. So he said, what do I need in a week? It's $150. And then he will pray and bind the devil that's holding his money back and lose the angels to go and bring the money. And every single time he got the money he was asking for and a few dollars extra. So if you ask the Lord for $150, he will get like $152, all right? You get like $152, you get like $157 or $155, something like that. If you ask the Lord for $200, you come to like about $210, $205, stuff. So much that, like I told last time, there was a time he prayed, the money was not complete. He did not leave the place, he was counting the money. He counted the money and counted the money and counted the money. And divided the money with his friends. You count the other side, I count this other side. They switched it around. Finally, he remembered that somebody gave him $20 earlier in the day. And when he added that one, he went back to what it used to be. If it was $200 he was believing for, he got $205, $206, $210, something like that. And I said last time, and I want to repeat it again. A lot of us went to practice that. So you see, two boys on campus will agree amongst themselves. Or one guy will agree on his own and bind the devil holding back his BMW and lose the angels that will go and go to Germany and go and bring it and go and dispossess whichever white man is driving his car currently and get him a very fresh Tacoma BMW. And unfortunately, those ones hardly worked. That's where I'm going to. They hardly did. I'm not aware of anybody give an authentic testimony about it. But we all practiced it. I'm not sure I did. I'm sure I did. We always do these things. All right? But the one questions, I'm sure I must have. I can't remember specifically. I must have. Without putting into all these things. And it's a sign of zeal and it's a sign of loving God. If you never did it, your Christianity is questionable. The Lord is good. Now, this one I'm making. I said last time, and I want to repeat to us again. One question we did not ask. Were there no Cadillacs that time when Brother Hagin was praying for $150? There were Cadillacs. Why didn't he pray for a Cadillac? Americans had $500 bills. Why didn't he ask for one? Why was he praying for $200? Are you getting my point? People were living in mansions. Why didn't he ask for one? Why was he praying just to pay rent on that small one that he had? Do you follow my point? Is it that God, and those are questions we ask once in a while. One day, a young man came to me. He was having some issues in academics. They said he failed an exam. He said he did not fail. We said he failed. He said he did not fail. So he went to go and pray that God will release his real result, not the fake one that these lecturers are trying to impose upon him. So I called him one day to my office. One of the things that God did for me, not just for me now, but for the people I minister to, is that he made sure I passed through what a lot of them are passing through. I was a medical student. I was a Christian on campus. I was a campus fellowship president. I also had all kinds of jackery faith, you know what I'm saying? All kinds of rock, aggressive faith to pull down mountains. Some mountains came down, some got taller, and we were wise enough to leave that mountain till the faith got big enough to tackle it. We're there also. Now I'm a lecturer. I teach those medicals and who are students. So you can't bump. If I come to class and say, oh, you Christians are irresponsible, nobody will say anything. They will believe me. You say, if this man says we're irresponsible, we are irresponsible. Are you getting my point? So I called the young man to order. So I wanted to talk to him. He asked a question which sounded so like he wanted to put me in a corner. I said, listen, what you are doing is senseless. He says, sir, I want to ask you a question. Are you saying that there's something that God can't do? A lawyer can never put me in court and say answer yes or no. It's against my religion. I have testified before panels. I have been in court. I have been cross-examined. There's one thing, if you say yes or no, if no does not favor me, and yes doesn't favor me, I refuse. And if a lawyer wants to harass me, I'll face the judge and I'll beg the judge to instruct you to stop harassing me, that I want to give my answer the way I know how to give it. And I did that to the young man. I said, that's a very foolish question. You asking me. Now, I can't remember all the words I told him. But among the answers I have for such situations now is this. Is there something that God can do? No, there's nothing he can do. He could have given you that MBBS certificate in your father's house. Why did he make you write jam? Is there nothing that God cannot do? Why didn't God just give, when you were being born, that you bring out your right hand, you see Bachelor of Medicine, Bachelor of Surgery, as you are coming out of your mother's womb, why did he make you go to primary 1? Primary 6? GSS 1? SSS 3? And then road jump? My friend, go back and go and read and pass this exam and stop telling me that there's something that God can do or cannot do. I'm bringing an issue here. When he says, give us this day our daily bread, and referring to that Ken Hagin story, why didn't the man ask for a mansion? Why was he praying for $150? Is it that there's something that God can't do? A lot of prayers we pray are prayers of what? Worry. They are prayers of what? Competition. All my friends have married, they're having children, so it's competition now. It's not a prayer of faith. I want that 5 billion naira. All I'm thinking is a God, when you give it to me, I won't ask you for money again. I've had a friend tell me that. We were discussing about something. I said, if God says you ask for something, what are you asking for? He said, I'll ask you for it. He mentioned one huge amount of money for that time. He said, so I will not have to come back and pray again. He said, that is the very thing God will not do for you. So that you will gain independence as a result of the answer he gave to your prayer. You'll now be independent of him. No, he won't allow that. Why didn't Kenneth Hagin pray like that? It's simple. Maybe he knew, whether I knew it like this or he didn't know it like that, but this is the spiritual working behind it, I believe. Because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't pray about the evil that is not in your day. That's the point I'm making. You are getting what I'm going to explain there. That is, each season, he said, give us this day our daily bread. I want to explain that thing to us again. Life is broken into seasons. There are words you see in the scriptures. When you see the word like day, then this Bible does not always refer to 24-hour period. Are you getting my point? Yes, there are different things that are used for day. For example, he said, this is the day that the Lord has made. And when he was talking about that, he was speaking about the season of the church. Are you getting my point? If you look at it in context, or the prophetic interpretation of it, this is the day the Lord has made. He was talking about the season of the church. He was talking about the day of salvation. When he talked about the acceptable year of the Lord, in Christianity, it's not just one year. He talked about the season of the shedding of the blood of Christ, in which we can now walk boldly into the holiest of all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So those are seasons. So when you see the word day in the Bible like this, it can be literal 24 hours, or again, we can apply it to the season that you are in currently. Are you getting my point? For example, a student, I said, has a season for maybe 4 years. When you step into university, your day is 4 years. That's the next day you are in. Because if you are studying a course that's 4 years, the next 4 years you're in a single season of your life. And listen, some of the prayers, like I was saying earlier, that people pray are prayers of covetousness. They are prayers of worry. They are not prayers of faith. That's why I read that James chapter 5 first. That is, the Lord was teaching us here again that we should learn to pray prayers of faith, knowing that tomorrow is always in God's hands. It's very vital. It's very vital. It's very vital. I have discovered, now please listen to this. I want to say something. Let me try and see how I can explain it so that we'll all understand. There's something I've been saying again and again. Be very careful of testimonies. That is, personal testimonies. When God blesses people, there are many things he's doing. For example, you could have decided, you look at the life of David, and say, see how God, let's assume your grandfather was a Muslim. Are you getting my point? And you look at the life of David. How did God bless David? Oh my God. The Lord so blessed him that he gave him 4 wives. Amen? And you see what I'm saying? And you see that's what? A sign of blessing. Because your grandfather was a Muslim. They're assuming that your Osama bin Laden's relative, a Qaeda man, who they have promised that if you kill enough people, you will have 70, bean-eyed virgins, I don't know what they describe it, in heaven. If you are like that, you will interpret the blessing of Solomon as the God so blessed him, he has 700 wives. I wonder how many bombs he tied to his body. How many people did he kill for the cause of Allah? You are getting the point? How many people did he kill for the cause of Allah that he should have given 700 wives? That the man didn't even have to wait to get to Arjuna to get his own. You are getting my point? You are interpreting his testimony in the light of the depraved mind that you have. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. When we are interpreting testimonies, we have to be careful. Sometimes when God blesses people, he's blessing them with limitation or within limitations. What am I saying? Was it God's perfect plan that Solomon should marry 700 wives? Even Solomon knew it was not. Because he testified that I have discovered that there's nothing better than for a man to rejoice in the wife of his youth. He said, having 700 wives is inferior to that one. That was Solomon's judgment. Do you get my point? What am I saying? I've heard people testify of how people can come and give you testimonies of how God opened the door for them to go maybe to a foreign country. People can give testimonies of how God connected them with one wife or with one husband. People can give testimonies of how God opened the door for a job. I have seen people give me testimonies of things I'm sure God doesn't want them to do. Now, listen. Listen. When I say I'm sure now, maybe for them, all right? Maybe for them, God has overlooked it and said, leave it for him, leave it for her. But I knew they were working closely with God enough and understanding the way God works. These are things they wouldn't ask him for. All right? Hey, I'm trying to be careful. There are many women who testify in my presence. How God helped them get promotion. How God helped them retain the job that I'm sure you couldn't have married me. I won't let you do it. I don't know whether I get my point.
Yes. What?
It is going to rise up early. You rise up early every day. To go to bed late, you go to bed late every day. And you are testifying on promotion. I go there, look. And you have 4 children in the house. Who thinks daddy is the mommy and mommy is the daddy? Yes. And for me, there's no story you want to tell. As you are giving your testimony, I'm just rejecting it. In Jesus' name, not my portion. Are there testimonies? Yes, they are. Most certainly. Did the Lord do some of those things? Yes, he did. Because that is the much you allow him to do. Some of those things, we hold on so tenaciously to them. This is where I'm going, no? Prayer of faith. Because tomorrow, we are afraid of it. We are afraid of what the future holds. We are afraid. Once a man was talking to me, describing the reason why he has to go to a particular country. And by the time he finished, he had explained everything that I knew was wrong, biblically speaking. When you get there, you can plan effectively for your future. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. Take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall you be clothed. Ask the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Listen, there are many testimonies that come as a result of praying prayers that are not of faith. You came to God begging, God, if you don't give me this visa, I know that you can give me. And God is seeing what's in your heart. You are afraid. Look, I've had so many experiences along this area. You are so certain that the degree of prosperity that you like God to point to your life, Nigeria doesn't understand it. See what I'm saying? You are certain. I've given this here before. Once we were in church praying with people, and one man was in front of me, said I should pray. What is the prayer? That God should open doors for him to go for international trials. Say, footballer. Of course, first time you hear international trial, say, are you a criminal? Want to be tried? He said, no, he's a footballer. So I asked him a simple question. Have you been to Aqua United and they rejected you? Have you been to 3SC? They said, go away. Haba. Julius Berger is there, you haven't played for them. And you want me, I, Banky, to join hands with you to open doors of international trial. It's against my religion. You know the kind of prayer I pray for such people? Father, open his eyes. Because when God opened the eyes of Hagar, she was beside a well, she didn't recognize it. You're getting my point? I said, boy, if not football, you won't play. Go stadium on Saturday. When Eyimba wants to I don't know much football though. What are the rainy? I'm mentioning teams of my days. You know, even Aqua United, I learned that one about 7 years ago. If I give you the ones I really know, now Shooting Stars. ICC Shooting Stars. Rangers still there. Okay. I tell you, listen, my guy, go to those people first. Because I know why I'm saying these things. Because we don't understand. That's actually the kind of prayer God expects us to pray. Listen, through Christianity, it's a serious walk. Yes, it is. It is a serious matter. Because each season in life, you know, for example, you're a preacher. I have never understood, God taught me that long ago, so I have never understood why a preacher will pray that God should open doors for him to go and preach in America. I have never understood. That's why you shouldn't go to America. I can pray, God, give me money to carry my wife and my children for holiday. It's easy. That will pray. I can pray that one and receive it by force. You know what I mean? But God, open preaching doors. Why? 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 Be honest with yourself. Why? I have found it easier to pray for open doors to Eastern Africa. You say, Pastor Mackie, why? Well, simply because I have a message for them. Let's put it like that. And we're already ministering to them via satellite. All right? And when Omega Channel started advertising their coverage of North America, I just looked at myself and said, like I said, sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. I don't know why I didn't have the faith to say, Lord, you will supply more money. Listen, the money we are pumping now onto the new radios we are getting into within Nigeria, if we had put it together, it would have paid for that one. The one we gave to Kingdom Africa for the few months we were with them, all right? Who would have paid for what Kingdom Omega Channel is asking us to pay to broadcast all over the U.S.? I just look and say, no, no. It's not bad, though. Are you getting my point? I just don't feel the day is here. Yeah, you getting what I'm saying? So, for me, it's funny. For me, I don't know why it should be a prayer point. I don't know why it should be a prayer point. I'm going somewhere. Because for most Nigerians, why it is a prayer point, it's not they don't have the mission mentality. They want to count their honoraria in dollars. That's all. I'm emphasizing this sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. And why Jesus said, pray like this. Give us what? This day. A prayer of unbelief, a prayer of worry. That's what we pray when we are so focused on the times that have not yet come. Let me tell you, the security for that time is the way by which you successfully fulfill the mandate of God for today. That's what leads you into tomorrow. Are you getting my point? Listen, I can hear a preacher come and testify. I can hear a preacher testify that I've only prayed the Lord gave me maybe 500 million naira as an example. Say, Pastor Bank, we can also stretch our feet for that. I've never spent 500. What am I making? You know, when you hear a man say, I've never spent 500 million, it's as if he spent 200 million. You should not say it like that. 500 million. To me now, it looks like the Lord is able to do something there far above all that he can ask or think. You understand my point? You know, there are things I just don't bother myself about. And when you say that, okay, a man had the faith for it. Listen. It must have been in his day. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, it has to have been in his day for him to have stretched his faith. And so I don't bother myself about it because the day that I am in, the number of TV stations and radio stations we have to pay is not so much, and they don't require me having 500 million naira. Do you get my point? And I don't create unnecessary burdens for my soul. Those days when I was in Lagos, if you let me tell the story again and again. If you know me well enough, you know I love nice cars. You know how you know? Let's just talk. By the time I start giving you information, you know, the kind of the man talks about is what you know what he really loves. One day, a man drove a car up, came to sell it to somebody near me. And I said, okay, how is this car? I was just asking him questions. After I said, excuse me, sir, what do they really mean when they talk about displacement like that? And I began to explain to him how cylinders work and explain. I talked. Finally, he looked and said, and I thought I knew a lot about cars. He was selling cars. I wasn't selling. If you ask my wife, you say, this is my husband now. In the dark, I will take a glance at a car for 3 seconds. I'll tell you the brand, the make, the year. And then my wife looked at me and said, I was just driving down our house. One nice little mid-sized SUV was parked there. I just said, oh, this must be this particular model of this particular car. It was dark. So she looked and said, for one who came close, I looked and I was right. I said, how did you know? I don't know. I just saw it 2 seconds and I knew. I used to play a joke those days in Lagos. I really need to do it. A car would drive by. Pam, I look for it. 1 second. Close my eye, tell you the kind of... I'll just tell you everything about it. You know where I'm going? I didn't have one. And it was not a serious prayer point. That's where I'm going. I didn't have one. And it was not a serious prayer point. The only thing I ever said to the Lord, I remember very sure. I remember that one for sure. I said, Lord, the only thing is that when I marry, if I don't have a car, now let me go to church. I'll be coming from church to come and preach to my wife, whatever pastor says there. And I was very good at that. If I come to church, I remember every word you preach. And I get home and download everything for whoever I left behind at home. That's why it makes me laugh when I see young people. The pastor will come and say, "Say this year, this is my year, yeah. Oh, buy Lamborghini. So you take a dangerous seat right now. So what's your Lamborghini? You have so many. And Lambo slippers you buy. I don't know for people. I tell people, say, listen, my friend. For me, I trekked with pride. Took bike with pride. Came down from, I could select the bus. If your bus, your seat is not looking very clean. Move. I wait for the next bus. I mean, when I'm traveling, I go to places where the cars are comfortable. So no, I don't like that transport line because this is how their vehicles are. This one carries only 3 people a row. You can sit. You're more comfortable. That's how I used to make my choice. Salvation unto the day is the evil thereof. There's no prayer point that should give me a headache. You are getting what I'm saying? It's very important because that's why oftentimes faith appears as if it's not working. We pray to God for stuff. We don't seem to be getting it. A lot of times because we are praying for things that are not in that day. I tell a lot of young men, you don't want to maintain cars. Yeah, a lot of young men are praying for. You don't want to maintain it. I went to service my car last week. They said, "Sir, your brake pads need to be changed." I said, "Go ahead, change it." By the way, how much would that be? He said, "25,000 naira." I said, "Wait. Is that for the whole cost of servicing plus everything?" He said, "No, just for the parts we will put." I said, "Remove your new parts, return the old one first. Since I just get off from my house, put on the..." I looked again, said, "Take your time. Next time you should call me ahead, sir. We perceive in our spirits that when you shall come, your brake pads will need changing." So put it in back. The point I'm making is that some of the things we are praying for, you don't want to get involved in it yet. You don't want to. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Grant that we'll sit on your left and your right in your kingdom." You know what he said? "You don't know what you are asking for. You are asking for things that you have no idea the implication." Because the Lord gave it to you doesn't mean you won't maintain it. He gave Adam the garden. You know the first thing he told him? Guard it and do what? Keep it. Guard it and keep it. That was the first thing he told him. He said, he looked at them and said, "You don't know what you are asking for." What am I saying? What the Lord was telling us, I believe, because this prayer was not just about, because you know, when I started, there was something I emphasized. I said meaningless repetition. Jesus wasn't giving us meaningless words. Everything he said, well, what he told us here, we're supposed to pray them with what? With meaning. They have things that are implicit in them. When he said, "Give us this day our daily bread," what he was saying, this is what I believe. We've recognized what things are ours for the day. We know when we are lacking them. Do you get my point? You are living in a house that is rented. Very good prayer point. "Give us this day our yearly rent." You get my point? Very valid prayer point. You don't come and be bowing your head. "Lord, I claim all the land around here. I will walk around it. Wherever the sole of my foot will tread. No problem." You know God knows the vex. Walk around everywhere you want. Walk around it. Carry the sand, put it in the bag, hold it. I will give it to you. In 25 years' time, come back. You will be rich, you buy the whole street. It's not a problem. Are you getting my point? And let me just tell you, whether you walk around it or not, in 25 years, you won't, in fact, this is one thing, in 25 years, you will look around the one you walked around that time. You'll go and return the sand. "I don't like this place again." You don't have to be trekking around some places. Your mind that time, when you dip in your pocket, you will send your money to go and walk around everywhere. You know that? You call the one man and say, "You, take my money, go and walk around all that corner. And when you come, I want the deeds in your hand." You know, I don't believe in things that exact too, I hope you understand my point. Too much faith. If I have to say, "Wake up every morning, put it on the wall, and speak to it, that you will come. You will come. Listen, God is my witness. I won't do it for a car, I won't do it for a house, I won't do it for material things. I can do that for ministry. I can put the map of the globe on the wall and prophesy to it. But please, God forbid that I should wake up and be claiming motor car in the morning. You shall be red." I say you shall be red. I speak to you that green is not my portion, but red is my portion. Please, get a cane, flog yourself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil. You know what Jesus said? He said,
These are things that Gentiles make prayer points. What I was saying is, I don't believe in exercising my solid. If I spend the amount of money on material things, what will I spend prophesying on my children? What will I spend time prophesying on the work of the ministry? What will I spend, all right, energy, spiritual energy now, prophesying upon those who hear the word that I preach? Abba. I will not invest that amount of energy on the color of a car. By the time the car finally comes, you find the color is very common. You won't like it again. You notice this? The reason why you like gold-colored cars is because there are not many. Then now they are all over the place. Every Camry and every Sienna now is gold-colored. We don't like gold again. I've noticed that people are now beginning to like white cars. When I was young, we didn't like it because my father's 504 was white. Our neighbor's 504 was white. The 404 my father sold was white. The 505 the neighbor bought was white. So by the time everybody finished buying white, 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 when you see a red car, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so... Then all those small, small Japanese cars showed up. All of them red. Then my wife swore that she never drive a red car. What am I saying? Look, we don't spend energy on those. You shouldn't exert spiritual energy on them. They are too temporal, even in your mind. They are too temporal. You ask God for it today. In 6 months, you change your mind. Say, God, where's that letter I wrote you that time? Bring it back. I want to edit the email. Please, I hope you're following my point. So like I said, what the Lord Jesus was teaching us, it wasn't just about making prayer requests alone, but about having the proper perspective. That is not just, you know, he said that don't use meaningless repetitions. That is, every word here has meaning. When we come to the Lord, we understand that there is a season. Like I was saying, instead of prophesying all over the land, claiming it, it is all right. If you know your rent is going to be due in the next 3 months, Father, I thank you. Because I will never see shame. Those that please the Lord, how does he say again? Those that, Psalm 34, shall never lack anything good. You know, you quote that. That my landlord, no. I will never have to beg him. I am a giver. I am not a taker. I shall lend and not borrow. Now your landlord is the talk to. Before that day reaches, money is complete. Listen to me. Before that day reaches, your money will be complete. Amen. Before that day, the money will be complete. Amen. You are going to school. They have to pay fees. Maybe you prayed and worked hard and got yourself into the university. Not too much financial support. And now towards the end of this year, you have to do projects. You have to buy this, buy that. Sufficient unto the day. Listen, pray simply about that and one naira will not be short from the money you need. You hear what I said? God will supply every dime that you require. Let me say it to you again. If you identify the need for that day and you ask God for it, every kobo will be supplied. Every kobo will be supplied. There are people that when they want to pray, they say, Lord, for this merger to go through, we have to have $650 million. And the man will wake up in the morning and grab his wife, say, come, let us pray. And they will join hands and they will pray. And they will call his business partner and say, let us pray. And they will join hands. And how much are you talking? $650 million. And you come to church and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. NCC was saying we will not be able to buy Nitel and BPE. But we prayed. $650 million. I got the call from Goldman Sachs, what they call Western Hemisphere director. And he said the money was on his way. As I'm speaking to you, we have credited them BP's account with $500 million. Somebody praise the Lord. And you see one young boy will go home. I said, God, and me and you have been fighting for $20,000 for some weeks. We'll go finish on today. Hey, listen. For that guy, his day is the day of doing deals of billions of dollars. So with the same faith, you grab school fees. He uses the same dose of faith to get Goldman Sachs to send in $650 million. The same thing. Are you getting my point? You don't just become distressful because, how can you manage? God, how can I manage? How can is it that you are giving this with that amount of money? No, God said, listen, that need to him is more real than this one you are thinking about. So you may look big, But as far as I'm concerned, the amount of need he has is greater than yours. Because it's a spiritual currency. So I move that anointing in his direction, he absorbs $650 million. When I move that in your direction, all it will get is 6,500 naira. Because you are in the season that 6,000 to complete your project. Nobody to print and bind. Printing and binding, 6,500 is complete. You're not doing any. The only measure you are merging is merging yourself with graduation. You get my point? But for him to fulfill the purpose of God for that season, he has to acquire Nitel, as an example. He has to merge with another company. He has to buy one company, and that's the value. And listen to me, there's no point being covetous. No, if a friend of mine gives that kind of testimony, all I will do is pump his hand and say, oh boy, now wow, God bless you. I won't even wonder why he didn't give me an offering. I'm not joking. Because I've come to understand it's a job he's doing. Listen, it's a job he's doing. He's exercising his gifts according to the proportion of his faith. It doesn't mean I'm inferior to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're not inferior to somebody else who's able to pray out $650 million from the pockets of Goldman Sachs. No. You're not inferior to him in faith. You're just not in his day. Are you getting my point? You're not. That's all. When you get to your own day, if it is $2 billion you need, the same way you pray about it. Are you getting the point I'm making? The same way you will pray about it, and believe me, God will answer you. One of the reasons why he's not been answering some of our prayers is because we've been praying prayers out of their season. It is good to desire that one day you too will buy Nitel or whatever it is that is in its place that time. It's a good desire. Just nod your head, say one day it will happen. Prayer point time, don't worry about praying about that one. No. Don't worry about it. There is something that's in your day. Are you getting my point? There is something that's in your day. If you are the pastor of a church, there is something that's in your day currently. You go out, you go and look at a church that has built a cathedral. Some people go to Winners Chapel, they get confused. That's Canaan land. The people who go there, all their senses will vanish. When you see buildings, Covenant University, when NUC was rating schools, I think about 2 years ago, they were number one in infrastructure. And they were one of the newest universities. Get my point? They beat UNILAG, UNIBEN, UNN, OAU, beat all those first-generation universities. They were number one in infrastructure. From what I heard, before they laid foundation stone, Bishop made sure he had 4 billion naira, physical cash, not by faith. Some people think he began to build by faith. The man banked, now, if I say 4 billion, I just don't want to overestimate. I don't know the exact amount. That was the amount of cash that he could see, that he could write checks on before they put the first brick in the earth. So that once they started, you know, Bishop, you know the way he talks, say, God is moving in the land. God is not begging you for your money. You are the one that needs him. My people have a saying that the elder knows what he has eaten. Before he starts saying, I know this small one go do. You see a senior man, give him, you know, 2 pieces of plant. He says, it's enough. I don't want to eat much. Say, the man knows what he ate before he came to your house. Man knew. I mean, I'm not saying he's not talking by faith, but you know, the faith has produced. So when he says that, listen to me, saints of God, by December this year, we are commissioning this project. And you go and buy a car, hoping that by December, God will bring money for you to pay. The man you are following, his own cash. The bankers are begging him, okay, put it in our bank now. Please, good morning, sir. They are booking appointments to see some of the small pastors, whether the money can be put in their accounts. I'm talking about what? Day. Some young men get it, they don't see straight again. Start preaching gospel of prosperity by force. Think it's because of the preaching of gospel of prosperity that the man reached there. There are many people, listen to me, who didn't preach any gospel. They just believe the ones that was preached to them and they are doing greater things. But you don't know them because they are not preachers. Yes, that's one thing I'm begging all of you, that God will bless in this life. Give testimonies. Teach young people, walk to a campus and talk to them. Because the problem we have a lot of times is that the only people that talk are preachers. And people get totally confused. A man wake up and say, praise God. Yesterday was my birthday. I said, God, this year you will celebrate for me. And two brothers came in and said, sir, you have been a blessing. And they gave me a brand new 500 S-Class. Amen. And a lot of young men say, now, wow. You start praying until God will send somebody. I said, God said, listen, my friend. You're an architect. You're not a preacher. I ain't sending anybody with any car to your house. You are going to do fantastic designs. And when they will have paid you for the design, you will buy the car with your money and go and give that man another one. Do you get the point? We need somebody like that. One has been blessed to come and say, ah, one day I woke up at night. That's why I said, go and read the book, R.G. Lotono, Move Out of Men of Mountains. So one day I just woke up. And this idea came and I went and put it on paper. And next day I sat with my engineers. In fact, the story I'm telling, Lotono said, he came home, fagged out after a long period in church. He wanted to sleep. Suddenly something came to his mind. He staggered to his study. Instead of going to sleep, he started sketching. Next day, gave to the engineers. Guys, this is the next thing we are building. It was a divinely appointed design for a machine. You are getting what I'm saying? Some people don't understand. A man is in his day. He has gotten to a day in which he can say, Father, this week's birthday, the car must be worth 25 million naira. And he comes. And you see one small boy pastoring a church of 25 people. Say, I've told the Lord. You know, the other man didn't tell anybody. He told the Lord alone. You come. I say, I've told the Lord this year, my Camry must be 2,000 and which more than now. Maybe, when because it's a small share. So we say, amen. I believed it. What you are telling them is, guys, gather the money. Say, no, I need a Jeep. You are not telling them. I said, look, my birthday is in 2 weeks' time. I just told God I must have a very clean Murano. And the men in church, I better get the point. Why? Because you listen to the testimony of a man who was in the day. Are you getting my point? Paul said, I learned to abound, I learned to abase. Christians think we don't ever have to abase. We have to. We have to. Sufficient unto what? The day is evil thereof. So he said, when you are praying, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. What am I saying to you? There is nothing you identify appropriately as being in your day that you ask for that God will not give to you. Did you hear what I said? There is nothing that you identify as being appropriately in your day. I don't know why students are spending time praying about motor cars when they can't use faith to get an A. Unbelievers are beating you every day in class. And you are giving testimony. Praise God. Brethren, I have told God that the first year after graduation, I am going to be driving this kind of car. If you are with me, shout amen. If you are with me, shout amen. Because they make you a campus fellowship president. They should slap you. Last exam, you got C, D, C plus, C. We manage 1B. And you are using your faith for a car that you won't graduate for the next 2 years, you know. If you can even graduate yourself. Because the way you are going, your HOD no go agree. Come on, take that faith and put that thing on the ground. Say, Baba God, this is not good, though. This is not good. For a child of God, C does not spell Christian. What does it spell? It spells compromise. Say, Lord, I reject it in Jesus' name. Then the Holy Spirit will tell you, say, you know the problem. Say, what? You know they read. Say, sir? Yes, you know they read. Last weekend, where were you? Say, we went for that powerful village-to-village crusade. Say, listen, that's not part of this season now. You stay on campus and read. Say, yes, sir. Go for lectures on time. Pay attention. Stop meditating and receiving revelation. Because, you know, my name is Holy Spirit. I have so much revelation that I can keep anybody occupied. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So close your mind to revelation sometimes and focus on physics and chemistry. And you say, yes, sir. Say, Lord, give me the anointing of Daniel. Say, it's your portion. Say, amen. Then you come to fellowship, brethren, the Lord poured upon me the anointing of Daniel. And next exam, they will see that you're not lying. Next morning, they say, hey, see, brother Mike, he's the first to go to class with you. What's happening? And they see you in class, you're not meditating, you know, those who are in school, brethren used to do all kinds of funny things. And they're walking on the road. You don't want to greet the man, you're afraid. It's when you sit down this time around, people see you concentrating. Any question, you put up your hand, you ask questions, you do your assignment. You do everything that is proper. You learn. That semester ends, first course A, next one A+, 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 A+. When you get a B+, you turn to prayer points. Ah, Lord, what's this B+ doing here? Where did I miss it? Was there any lecture I missed? The Lord said, no, that one just to let you know that it's glory by glory to glory. It's all right. See, next semester, you will correct this one. You are exercising your faith. Give us this day our daily A. Are you getting my point? Yes. We exercise. No, you see, we have to understand that each day has its issues. That's why Jesus emphasizes sufficient unto the day. Those the one were in Lagos. People say, it's hard to buy motorbike. I used to laugh. Because when they express scarcity, those of us who didn't have cars never used to queue. You didn't notice? When they express cars, those of us without motor cars, we didn't used to queue. Where are you going to put the fuel? Inside your shoes? We didn't used to queue. It's those who had the cars that used to queue. So it was good incentive not to even have one. Say, amen. In Jesus' name, I don't have. I'm not going to queue for anybody. Yes, we didn't have. So there's no point joining any queue. I had one colleague that time. He had one nice little old car like this. The car was always parked. I said, what's the issue? He said that he can't queue for anything. He will just be taking buses. But I need people that queue for scarcity, nothing. They will have fuel because they had the money. So for some of us that time, not having the car was good. Because of that, I used to behave like Jesus Christ. Say, what do I mean? Just used to borrow boots, don't be so. And so me to borrow buses, just go to the bus. Hey, you carry me to Joelegba, it's 10 naira, you pay. If you breeze on the road, you come down, enter the next one. You have to celebrate each season. That's the point I'm making. You know, the one I say all the time, if you are renting a house, it's a season. The Lord said you shall live in houses you did not build. That here, amen. So if the house is not yours and you are living in it, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. You are living in a house that you did not build. It's a season. Later on, the manifestation will change. But for now, that is the season. That is the season. And let me say it again. There is nothing that you legitimately and appropriately identify as being in your season for that day that you pray about that God will not give to you. Nothing. 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 One of the reasons why we don't have answered prayers is because we are praying for things out of their season. That is, the season is not yet. We are focusing too much on it. I mean, you're a young pastor. You hear that this pastor travels up and down, goes to America for this, goes to America for holiday, goes to Europe for this. And says, it's not the same job we are doing. Yes, it's the same job, but you're not in the same season. Please, I hope you're following my point. And that's what the Lord was teaching us. Let me just get back there. All right? He said, give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. One of the greatest things you would do for yourself is to know the day that you are in and focus on exercising it, or let me say, making success of that day. One of the things I said earlier, let me repeat it again, is that your promotion into the next season is dependent upon on how well, all right, is dependent upon how well you did in this particular season. Did you hear what I said? That's why you don't exercise and waste your time in things that are not for this season. Because no matter how much you pray about that following season, if you don't qualify for it, you cannot be placed properly in that next season. Jacob had to make Laban prosper before God established him. I give this as a challenge to every Christian worker, anywhere you work. If the day you are resigning, they are saying, good riddance. Please tell them you are not resigning again. Tell them you are not resigning again. No, you're not resigning. You are not resigning. That they should give you one more year. Beg the man. Then work for him like your life depends on it. Work day and night. Make sure you are the most valuable staff. The day you are resigning, you should be feeling bad. You know why? You are sowing seeds for your own company. That's why God said, even though you are serving a wicked boss, serve him very well. He said, because you're actually not serving that man you can see, you are serving God that you can't see. And in due season, he will give you his reward. He said, you know that from him comes the reward of life everlasting that you are looking for. The manifestation of eternal life is what you are looking for. So, you serve God well by serving that man. You get the point I'm making? You, like I said, I said last time, you use your prayer to download ideas to make him prosper. There are lies in the world they tell themselves. Look, this job is not anybody's job. It's true. But listen to me, it's the foundation for your tomorrow. Philadelphia, he said something then, and I was listening to him. It was very interesting. He said that anything, you know, I quoted it for us here before, that anything you do regularly, you become good at it. Let me say it again. Anything you do all the time, you become what? Good at it. Now listen to this. It doesn't matter who you are doing it for or who you are doing it to. If you work poorly all the time, you become good at it. You become so good at it that when you start your own company, you work poorly. You think that because it is your own, you will become more efficient. No. Unfortunately, you programmed your body to be inefficient. And I like the example of Ladroto gave then, that there was this big man in Nitel, and they ran Nitel the way Nigerians run Nitel. Then they left and started their own telecommunication company. Intercellular, those of you who were there then. Yes. Intercellular, they started Intercellular. Guys who were in Nitel came outside Intercellular. It was as inefficient as Nitel. Where are they now? Where are they now? Listen, I still remember when I was in Lagos, when Intercellular and so a few of those companies were there, I couldn't understand why everybody did not have a phone. Because they had their own network. And look, you know, sometimes you are talking, these guys saying you are not in the business, you don't know. But it was common sense, everybody else is doing it now. To use their phone for one day, you were paying 50 naira to hold the phone for a day, whether you use it or not. I said, this doesn't make sense. To buy the phone when we're earning 12,000 naira a month was 35,000. I said, this doesn't make sense. You know what happened? They carried the attitude in Nitel, brought it out to their own private companies. The way they punished Nigerians in Nitel, they punished their own customers. So much that when GSM companies came out, they disappeared. They disappeared. They went, the way we threw away Nitel lines, so people threw away Intercellular and all the other, they threw away their phones also. Because I used to say, look, I worked in a teaching hospital, all right? I said, look, if I run this company, I'll make sure every doctor here has one. It just made sense because they'll call themselves. Do you get what I'm saying? But this one I'm making. They're so used to running Nitel. By the time it came out, they ran the thing like Nitel. Listen, if you work efficiently for your boss, do you get my point? One day when you stop being the employee, when you are now the boss, you will keep on working efficiently. Except that this time around, the money will be going to your pocket. But if you are inefficient in this day, because you think the company is not mine, waity, the company will soon become yours. Except that your culture of inefficiency will have been entrenched. So that even though you were the boss, the company won't do well. The same way you did in the day that went past is where you find yourself, is how you find yourself doing it in the current day that you are in. You get the point I'm making? Why am I saying that? Because when people are not focused on this day, all right, they are focused on that day, the day that has not yet come. They think erroneously that when I get to that day, I will do better. Not knowing that, no, their prosperity in that coming day is determined by their efficiency in this day. And listen, there's nothing like, for all the money I make for them in that company, look at what they pay me. Don't worry. Like I said, it's what? a season. It's a season. And spiritual things are spiritual. What I mean is this. That effort you are putting is a spiritual seed. It's a spiritual seed. In a season, it will germinate. In a season, it will bear fruit. In its season, it will... Look, oh, listen. You know, there is... Among the seasons of life, there is a season in which you struggle for much. You know, you labor and get little. There's now a season you step in which the thing is just turned directly upside down. Do you get my point? You struggle little and you earn much. You put in more effort, the thing is multiplied a millionfold. And again, it is what? Season. There is no method. You see, I learned a lot of the books, all this management, business books, a lot of those things. I read them and said, my guys, these are methods of harvest. You are not teaching people how to sow seeds. If you don't have spiritual seed in the earth, you apply these methods at that time, you won't reap anything. You can imagine that Saudi Arabia, because they have money, they go and buy combined harvesters and face the desert. You know what they call combined harvesters? What would they harvest? Sand. A lot of things we are learning, principle how to do this, they are combined harvesting principles. And people are trying to use them in desert land when they have not irrigated the land, they have not planted any seeds there. You can learn all the methods you want if you step into, oh God, I just remember this. If you step into that day with empty soil, you won't see anything to harvest. Let me say it to you one more time. You can learn all the methods of harvest because harvest has a method. That's why the Bible says, he that watches the wind will not sow. Next line, he now said, he that observes the clouds will not reap. That is, just like there's a method for sowing, there's an effort, all right, and method also you put into it to harvest. What am I saying? A lot of us learn the methods of harvest. If we get into the season of harvest, without having effectively occupied the season of seed, you will know all the theories, all the how to do everything. You won't see anything to harvest. You won't see anything to harvest. You will have the best equipment in the world. There will be nothing coming forth. Why? Because the seed was spiritual and you did not plant that seed. And like I said before, seed is not just money. We Christians these days, we have thought into all we need to do is just put money in. No. In each season, there's a bread that God said you must eat. If you go and listen to that radio series, cooperating with the seasons of life adventures, I explained it. In each season, there's a bread that God said you must eat. Listen, Jesus told those people, he said, there is a baptism with which you must be baptized. There is a cup that you must drink. Did you hear what I said? Listen, and it's scriptural. What I mean is this. You've heard me teach this one before. You look at the life of John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was baptizing, there were no results. Do you hear what I said? When John the Baptist was baptizing, what did I say? He didn't heal anybody. Nobody. The Bible says John the Baptist did no mighty work. I'm not teaching on it now, but as soon as he finished baptizing, and the first phase of the baptisms of Jesus, because Jesus' disciples too used to baptize, once that phase passed, anybody amongst the Jews especially who wasn't baptized, all the miracles that Jesus did, they did not reap anything. He said, oh, what you need to do is learn how to touch the hem of his garment. That garment checks, did you go for the baptism of John? Did you hear what I said? The garment used to check. Didn't you just touch recklessly? When you grab it, the garment, you say, wait, were you baptized? Say, yes, I was there. Which portion of the Jordan? Say, good. Then they will open. Then virtue will flow. There were some Pharisees who used trick to hold also. They just say, ah, Lord, I want to ask you a question. Just grab the garment. The garment will say, my friend, leave me alone. Nobody had persecuted John that time. When the man was baptizing, did you go? Did you go? No, you didn't go. What am I saying? In that day, they did not fulfill the commission of God for that day. So when the day of Jesus came, there was nothing for them. Let me not go sit on that. Let me talk about my matter of prayer. So I'm going to explain something. So when he said, give us this day our daily bread, two things I have said. Let me so I can close, all right? Two things I have said. Number one is the fact that you must learn to identify the things that are legitimately and appropriately in your season. There is none that you ask God for that he will not give to you. None. One more time. If you know you're walking in faithfulness with God and you've identified something, listen, you're a student. Having enough money to do your project and do your pay your fees is in your season. Are you getting my point? It is in your season. You're working. You have a family. You don't own the house. You have a rented apartment. Having enough money to pay that rent is in your season. Pray to God all the time about it. You will never lack money. Your landlord will never put you to shame. You are getting what I'm trying to explain. Let me say one more time. Anything you rightfully identify that is in your current season, you pray to God about it, he will give it to you. He will. He will. He will. He will. He will. If you are praying, you've been praying about something for a while, if it doesn't seem to be falling through, listen, let me give you an advice. Leave it for a while. Leave it. Redirect your attention somewhere else. Yes, redirect your attention. Maybe the thing, a number of things, it may not be in the season. Or God has, in fact, whether it's in season or not, when you pray about it, God hears. He knows. And people say God doesn't say no. Sometimes he just says a flat no. Sometimes he says, wait, this is out of season. But I will hold this your prayer. I won't throw it away. So leave the matter. In that season, you won't have to pray this prayer again. Don't worry, I will hold this prayer until that time. So those are the things. So that's why I said, just forget it for a while. If you do, your mind will be redirected to things that are more appropriate. You start praying and you start seeing immediate results. Do you get the point I'm making? There are people that God placed in places and God says, occupy here till I come. But they've been praying about the coming of the Lord every day. And God said, no. Occupy here till I come. What I mean is that they've been praying for open doors. God, let me start my own business. Let me start. First year, second year. God said, you don't get my point. I said, occupy here till I come. For the last 2 years, we've been praying like that. Nothing has happened. You know what you do now? So God, this man that has even paid me consistently for the last 3 years, what have I given to him? I've been working like everybody else. No, that's not right. The prayer point suddenly changes. Father God, why is this company not at this level? Why is it at this level that we have been in for the last 2 years? Father, give me ideas that can launch this company forward. Before the end of the week, ideas fill your head. Before the end of the month, you are talking with your boss and you guys are executing new projects. Before the end of the year, you discover that the turnover of the company has doubled. Suddenly, you are the Jacob that's making labor and prosper. And God, this is the point I was making. You see, the prayer you prayed for 2 years, I didn't answer it because it was not yet time for that. Now, when you have redirected your prayer, in fact, this is the interesting thing about it. Let me just say this one. This is how God works with believers. Listen to me. By the time he will make you very rich, you wouldn't like money anymore. Did you hear what I said? You didn't hear it. You didn't hear it. Listen, you didn't hear it. Right now, 1 million naira, I feel like they give you like this, and you will praise God on your head for a whole night. The day he's going to give you the 1 million naira, you know what you'll say? Thanks. That wasn't bad. That is, it will have been, well, I don't know. Not necessarily because you have plenty of it, but your mind has gotten to a place. The reason why you wanted the money so badly, you realize you don't need those things anymore. Yeah, suddenly you've realized it. The time God will give you $1 billion, you will feel the way you felt the first time he gave you 20,000. You're like, say, guys, so how much did you make? Say, $1 billion. That's not bad. Guys, you're doing well, you're doing well. You shake it, you give bonuses, everything, and they go like nothing happened. Some people expect to come and do Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving over what? $1 million. $1 billion. Thanksgiving. Is that worthy of Thanksgiving? You know, in my office, they say I'm one person that doesn't wash car when I buy it. I said, car is not to be washed. And I buy a car. I say, chief has bought a car. You know, go wash them. I say, car? I bought a car, I should wash it. You know what I do? If you buy a car, there's nobody that buys a car in my office I don't wash it for. Hey, you bought a car. That's very nice. Come, let's buy you fuel. I give you money for fuel. It's not that I'm not grateful, though. Are you getting my point? It's not that I'm not grateful. I just don't think it's worth celebrating. You are getting my point? Listen, I was saying something earlier. The time, listen to this, the time that God will put a demand on you to quit that job and go to another one, you won't want to go. I don't know what I heard I said. Ah, you didn't hear it. The time will come, if you pray the appropriate prayer, you will become so valuable. Your boss won't want you to go. He will keep increasing the amount of money he wants to give you. He will be giving you ideas. Okay, let's do partnership like this. Okay, you will be a, what do they call it? It's not partner, they call it. Some they call it in here. Yeah, okay. We're going to make you a partner. That is, it will be so sweet, but you will just know that it is time to go. The one that you are making the prayer point every day, I want to leave, I want to leave, is probably a sign that you shouldn't leave yet. I don't know what I said. The time will come that when it is time to go, you'll be feeling like, if I leave now, how will this do? Compassion. God, if I leave now, what is going to happen? If I leave now, but you will just know that it's time to leave. Many people, by the time you are leaving this job for another one, the first few months you will earn less than you were earning before. Aha, you hear what I said? And these are amongst the reasons why it will be as if you should not go. And listen, let me just add this one to it. Go. At that time, what did I say? Leave. Because if you don't leave, if the leaving season passes and you are still there, they will fire you. And the firing of you will be the will of God. You hear what I said? Yes, they will fire you because God said, don't mind that, my son. He started misbehaving. He has gotten too comfortable. You know why Pharaoh had to persecute the Jews? You know the reason. Egypt was prosperous. Egypt was a nice... There was no prophet that could call them out of Egypt. Say, leave all these businesses, this Goshen, this land that is flowing with milk and honey and prosperity and favor with the king and return to the land. But say, don't worry, that was not your problem. I know how to arrange these things. You remove the Pharaoh that's your friend and bring one that's not your friend. Why are these people richer than us? Take their land. All those white men in Zimbabwe. That's all good. Lord, I'm very sorry. I don't know whether that's what happened. I'm just an illustration. If I were them, I just park. Because some of them have been praying for years that Robert Mugabe would die. The man, do you know how old he is? That bros, he ain't planning to die soon. Forget it. Some of them are now in Kwara State. You know that? Yeah, they're in Kwara State now. The Lord wanted them to come to Nigeria to come and help out. They sat down in Zimbabwe. I said, okay, I will show you. I will show you something. Brother Bob showed up. Robert Mugabe said, what's going on? Oh yeah, collect the land. Collect the land. They were sitting there shouting. Americans and Britons made all the noise. Robert Mugabe said, I ain't giving anybody land. What am I saying? If the appropriate season comes for you to disappear, you are still there because you are comfortable. Don't worry. Sit down there. That seat will soon become hot. Next time, you'll be begging to go. Because it did not tell you since to leave. What am I saying? Whether it is sweet or not, once you feel it is the time to get out, please get out. Yes, there's a season called a day. And you must be disciplined to identify things that belong to that season and pray about them. I'm saying that none of those things, in none of them will you be disappointed. That here an amen. In none of them will you be disappointed. That here an amen. In none of them will you be disappointed. And I said also, don't ever forget this. Don't forget it. And what I said is the fact that it's how you execute this season that determines where God will place you in the next one. And that is why it is important you use that prayer mechanism to fulfill the activity of this season. That's why I gave the illustration if you are working somewhere. All right? Instead of praying for your own company that has not yet been birthed, pray for the job that you have been given, that you execute it so well that when it is time to leave, nobody will want you to go. That's why I told the whole story I told at the end, so as to bring that point in. But if you focus on what is this day, are you getting my point? Next time we're going to talk about the matter of forgiveness again. You know, if you focus on what is this day, listen, it becomes very easy for you to forgive people. You get my point? Yeah, very, very easy. The man that forgot Joseph in the palace. The guy who forgot Joseph in jail. You understand? By the time Joseph got to the throne, he understood why he had to forget. If the guy had negotiated early and gotten that guy released, it would have been hard to find him in his father's house. Are you getting my point? But God made sure that the man forgot. All right? And Joseph was able to understand. Listen, everything I have in life, everything I have become is because God arranged it. For that reason, I'm not angry with anybody. Don't follow Donald Trump. Donald Trump believes in vengeance. Don't follow that man at all. He believes in vengeance. He believes in divorcing your wife if things are not working well. He's not a man of God, amen? Just a rich man, all right? Don't follow. He says that if you do me bad when I'm down, when I get up, I will step on you badly. It's not the will of God. If you understand that God is controlling your life, anything anybody does to you is only establishing the purpose of God for your life. When you understand that, you can understand people's character. This man is not a good man. This man is a good man. Doesn't matter. But they will not hold any personal animosity towards the person. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus had to explain, forgive. Because if you are not forgiving, you are still holding men in high esteem. Once you realize that God is the only person, that you hallow his name, it will be difficult for you to be angry with people. Did you learn anything today?
Yes, sir.
Let's bow down here and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. Because your word is good. Always good. Always good. Once again, let's just take a minute and just pray for our country. Like I would pray last time. All the issues in Nigeria. Let's pray once again for our brethren that are in the area. For all of us, everybody, especially our brethren that are in areas where there's so much trouble in the nation. Say, Lord, protect them, deliver them from all evil in the name of Jesus. Let no injury come upon them. Let your angels guard them. Have mercy upon them. Have mercy upon every missionary, every pastor, every Christian, their wives, their husbands, their children, everyone that belongs to them. Lord, extend the mercy to everyone who has shown them mercy. Somebody who took them in a time of crisis, show that person mercy. Those who, when that young woman, the harlot, kept the people of Israel, the spies, God also showed her mercy. That was Rahab. God also showed her mercy. Lord, protect them. Let every counsel of the evil one concerning our nation be frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. Let every counsel of the evil one be frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. That there are those, alright? God sometimes will commission people, go and do this for me. Though he says they carry that beyond the measure. Let every area in which people have carried the assignment of God beyond a measure to do evil to this country and the people of God, let it be frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree once again peace upon this land. We decree once again peace upon this land. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, saints of God. Nigeria is not just a simple country. Look at the population. Look at the kinds of people that are in there. You know we have an assignment to perform. We do. And as of today, if you remove United States, I think we are the next main exporter of the gospel. I don't know. Please, if you know, tell me afterwards. Because we export more gospel than Europe now. We do. We are exporting to them already. And I told you, we'll soon export food to them too. Uh-huh. We will. We will. So Nigeria is strategic. It's important. Raymond Bonnke prophesied it long ago. Pai Elton prophesied it long ago. I've heard so many prophecies. Even Peter Daniels, who I talk about once in a while, said something about it. Nigeria is strategic. For that reason, we uphold it with the word of God. We uphold it by our prayers before God, and we declare, no evil will come upon her in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak because the heart of the king is in the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Therefore, we say, Lord, every wisdom, every decision needed for President Jonathan and his assistants, the ministers, the special advisors, the vice president, the senators, all of them, every wisdom that is needed to establish God's plan for this country, Lord, we are asking, give it in the name of Jesus Christ. How to restructure our power system, judicial system, law enforcement, everything. How to improve security. Lord, that wisdom, give it to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, there are men here and there that you have put that wisdom in their hearts. Draw them to the place of power. Like Joseph, bring them before the king in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare again that goodness and loving kindness will follow this nation, will be in this country, and prosperity will be within our walls in the name of Jesus Christ. Every plan, listen, you know, if you want to know this, you know, people talk a lot about
Islamic banking. They plan to Islamize the country. I'm one guy that does not believe that joke. Am I saying Sanusi doesn't have his plan? I don't know. He's not my personal friend. He doesn't come to my house. We don't discuss. I don't know whether he's a good man or a bad man. In yesterday's paper, if you read it, they said the Council for Sharia Affairs was threatening to fire and brimstone. He that sits in the heaven shall laugh. That nonsense. The fire will burn the guy first. That man will open his mouth and talk that nonsense. If he means it, let his tongue burn. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Very, very important. Anyway, the point I'm making is that sometimes we worry ourselves too much about the Islamic bank. Listen, start the Islamic bank. One man wrote a comment in the paper I read online. He said, let them start it. Let's see whether they can run it. Sometimes I think we Christians will waste our time too much. Nobody will get a comment from me publicly on Islamic bank. Somebody tell Brother Yorichi, therefore it's not necessary. Those comments are unnecessary. Any plan, that's where I'm going, execute, planned and being executed against the knowledge of Christ Jesus in this nation, we command it to fail in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will fail in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. Know that I'm in charge of the affairs of your nation.
Amen.
Therefore, I declare again, goodness and mercy will follow this country in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Because indeed you have heard us. And you have blessed us. I just feel like praying. Everyone who have believed the words we spoke today, God, you will cause them to prosper and live long in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Listen to me. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
God will bless you.
Amen.
He will make you healthy.
Amen.
Put up your right hand. God will bless you.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
You are healthy.
Amen.
I speak against every affliction in your body. I command it to depart in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All lack. I don't have enough for this. I command it to stop in your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
You will so prosper, you will abound to every good work in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you put that hands to do will prosper.
Amen.
If you sell pure water, it will prosper.
Amen.
If you invent a machine, it will be good.
Amen.
If you import goods, they will not be lost.
Amen.
They will not spoil in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will direct customers and patrons to your place of business in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every evil, every negative thing that you may have done with your hand before that has spoiled your name is rectified now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will give you another chance with those people.
Amen.
Yes, you did it badly before, but God will give you another chance.
Amen.
And you will so impress them, they will open their mouth and say, were you the same person? That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Listen, the labor you put in before to earn a naira, you put in night to give you 10,000 in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Your struggle is in the word. You will struggle, you will labor in word and in prayer, but outwardly you will never struggle again.
Amen.
Listen, this is the day that God has placed you in. It's the day that the Lord has made. You will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Listen, you will rejoice in this day that the Lord has made and you will be glad in it.
Amen.
Listen, you will rejoice. Listen, as a student, you know what it means to rejoice? You will not fail again in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. As a worker, it will not happen that before the month ends, you'll soon spend all your money. You are only paying debts. No, that has come to an end in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Two things God will give you. He will give you wisdom. He will give you resources.
Amen.
Both of them you will have so that you can rejoice in this day that you are in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I told you many times those days. I used to rejoice when my friends would achieve things. I go and see my friends driving their flashy brand new cars that their pharmaceutical companies gave them. And all that ever came to my heart was joy and gladness. My friend Jude, anytime they give him a car, he'll come and show me first. And he and I will be driving all over Lagos. I was always full of joy. I was never angry with anybody or upset about anything. I knew that they said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen to me, you will rejoice in this day that you are in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thanksgiving will be full in your mouth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you are a student, understanding, I command it to come upon your brain now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Never will it be heard from your mouth that something is difficult. Listen, I said never will it be heard from your mouth again that one subject is difficult in the name of Jesus Christ. A is your portion. If they give A pluses in your school, that is your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Wherever you work, ideas, bright ideas, your boss will soon know you. Listen, you're working for somebody, he will know you. Because of the beauty of the wisdom that God will bring into that place by your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ. And if you own the business, the world will know you are there. Yes, the blessing. Because the Bible says not all men have faith. So men who don't have faith, God has to bless them because it's kind. So he uses men like you, women like you that have faith. God will pass those things through you so that you can bless the rest of the world.
Amen.
Therefore, through your hands, through your heart, through your labors, the world will be blessed with the wisdom and the ideas of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not be average.
Amen.
I said 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 you will not be average.
Amen.
But you will be above alone and you will not be beneath.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That you have given attention to the word of God. God will perfect everything that concerns you.
Amen.
You've heard me preach again and again. Grace is that you listen to God and he does the work that your heart desires. Therefore, grace and glory. I just remember one song. It said that Lord God is his sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will experience grace and you will experience glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.
Amen.